Blog Talk Radio.
Will finally come in
in the end time, how who will be selected and how they will be selected. And so one of the things in reading the parables this morning, going over my lesson and reading the parables, one of the things was what qualifies someone as a good test? So that's what I hope to cover this morning as one of the lessons in the parables. And we'll read the parables. And then I want to kind of focus in that area, what makes you a good test? What's going to determine whether you are kept or thrown back, thrown away? Okay, very important. What's going to determine whether you are kept as a good test or thrown away? And then I wanted to look at how is modern Christianity conflicting with that, with the message, with this message? Because a lot of the times, you know, you always have to examine what you teach and what you say. And then how do you stack up against the rest of the world? And what is the rest of the world teaching? You know, I'm going to call it the conformists, those that conform with modern-day Christianity and call themselves Christians, but in fact, in the true sense of the word, are not Christians. Okay? And we have it, you know, or they have it so that people don't want to associate themselves with being called a Christian, when in fact, you have false Christians and you have true Christians. Okay? And the true ones are the ones that obey the Most High. Plain and simple. That are saved and they obey the Most High. And they don't count on the law to make them righteous, but they keep the law because the law does make them righteous. They remain righteous. Okay? Don't say that, you know, I'm saved and then I'm still disobedient to the Most High. Those two don't go together. They are not, they're not compatible. But this is what the world teaches. So I hope to delve into that and you know, outline and explain what the problems are. Okay? And I believe that I have it probably 95, 99% of the way defined in the resolution. But we'll see. And, you know, the Most High has to give me the rest of it or the exact thing to say, as he would have it said. But I know that that is the issue. Okay, and so hopefully, as part of this series or on this morning, we will be able to delve into that and get some people on the right track. Nevertheless, if the Most High doesn't want them to see it, no matter what I say, they won't see it. But I still have an obligation to teach it. All right, that being said, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. I want to welcome our new listeners, or they may be returning listeners, I don't know, in Peru, in Mali, in Ghana, and in Nigeria. We want to welcome you either back or to the fold. Can't tell which one it is, but we always are appreciative and pray that you are getting something that is going to help your walk in the feet of the Most High. We want to welcome those users. Okay. That being said, as I said, we welcome you whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent, in the Far East, the Middle East, the European theater. The communist in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let me have the ladies to cover your head, men uncover your head. As a reminder, we will have the new moon service on the 9th of April. The 8th of April, it will be the night of the 8th of April, which will be the night. That night is also, there's to be a full eclipse in different parts of the world. On that day, it'll probably be pretty dramatic for you, Sister Mary, in Tennessee. It'll be less dramatic for you, Sister Denise, in Minnesota. For those that are in the southeast or southwest, Those that are in the southeast, they won't, you know, they probably won't be able to see it. Those that are in the southwest, you'll be able to see a partial eclipse, but not a full eclipse. So it's just going to determine how dark it gets where you're at. But if you start in the morning somewhere around 10 a.m. or check your local time if you want to observe it. These come around only once every 200 or 300 years in your particular where you're at, particular part of the world. And so if you want to see that event, you can go out and take a look at it, you know, get some dark sunshades or get, you know, a dark colored bottle, and you can look up at the sun. If you can't look directly at the sun with your naked eye, not unless you want to go blind. But with, you know, some dark glasses or a dark colored bottle or something like that, then you can look up at the eclipse and see it going up. I remember seeing one as a child. It is, you know, it's a spectacular event to see the moon come in front of the sun and block it out. It also, you know, they equate a lot of eclipses to events that go on in the world. There have been some warnings put out about this one because in a lot of the places it's going to be a total eclipse or it'll turn totally dark. And so they expect crime and things like that to go up in those areas for that few minutes. But, you know, we're not being an observer and trying to predict any type of move of the Most High based upon the eclipse. At least I'm not. But as a astronomical occurrence, not an astrological occurrence, they're two different things. Astronomical is just observance of the stars. Astronomical is using the stars to try to predict the future, and we don't subscribe or participate in the latter. But looking up at the sky and observing what's going on is not a sin when we use it to try to predict, oh, the Most High is going to make this move, or the devil's going to do that, or this is going to happen in your life. That is a sin. So, you know, take the time if you are a mind to, you know, just go outside and observe, because it doesn't happen, won't happen in your lifetime again, for sure. For any of us who are, unless you move someplace, you know, someplace else in the world, but in this part, whatever part of the world you're in right now, if you're able to see that eclipse, then it won't happen again for another 300 years. That it'll come about in your part of the world again. All right, that being said, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise from this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on this morning, Father. And we lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we glorify you, for you are our Elohim. And another will we not bow down to and give homage to or give our adoration to. But to you and you alone, Father. And so all glory and honor belong to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah to you, Father. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your presence. Hallelujah to your glory. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. All glory is yours, O Yah Elohim. All glory and praise and honor belong to you and to you alone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. In our scripture reading for this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. The sounding of the shofar.
How far you brought me, it's so clear. your love. I remember, remember your faithfulness. I remember, remember your grace. Stepped into my space and turned around my ugly situation. I was lost and far away, but then you came my way. How can I forget how you have saved me? Sometimes life can be so busy, sometimes overwhelmed, that we take our eyes away from all you've done. But this boy that you have lifted out of darkness into light, oh, will never cease to testify of you. Hey, I remember, remember.
it really doesn't make sense to them. How can I give my all? I have bills. I have this. I have that. It's because it's what you place as priority in your life. Is it your own, you know, the everyday aspects of your life, or is your overall goal and most important thing the priority to get into the kingdom, to live a holy and righteous life? Is that the highest priority? Is that the first priority over everything? And anything that conflicts with that, you have to be willing to put it down in the list. Yeah, it needs to be taken care of, but if it's going to conflict with this, then it is out of order in my priority. So we got to understand that Messiah is saying this is the mindset that the true believers must have. The kingdom has to be first. It has to be the highest priority. Again, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Anybody that's ever been fishing with a cast net, unless you are on top of a school of fish, you don't really know. And even then, you don't really know what's up under that school of fish, what's chasing them. You don't know when you throw your net in what are you going to bring up. And if you're not on top of a school of fish, if they're not close to the surface and you throw that cast net in, you don't know what you're going to bring up. Whatever that cast net falls over, that's what you're going to catch. And some of it could be good and some of it could be bad. It could all be bad. It could all be good. It could be a mixture. And so this is what the scriptures are equating it to. A fisherman throwing his net into the sea, and he's going to bring up every kind of whatever the net falls over, some good and some bad, okay? Verse 48, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, the good fish, the good things into vessels, but cast the bad away, okay? And this is what we're mainly going to deal with today, okay? Because when the net is cast over you, when the net is thrown in and the Most High is doing his fishing for the saints, what qualifies as a good and what qualifies as a bad? What qualifies as a good fish and what qualifies as a bad fish? And we're not talking about in the respect of you having scales and gills and fins, those things that are edible, because those would be good fish if you were fishing in the ocean. We're talking about in relationship to men, mankind, men and women. What qualifies you as a good catch and what qualifies you as a bad catch? Okay. And so we have to understand what is a good fish and what is a bad fish, okay? And so we're going to look at that aspect. So he says, the good shall be put into vessels, and the bad, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Separate the wicked from among the just. Comma. And shall cast them into the furnace, the wicked into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So we want to concentrate our efforts kind of in that area on this morning. What makes you a good catch? Because we can say, hey, he's going to throw the good, he's going to keep the good and throw away the bad. But what really qualifies you as being a good catch? So I want to qualify, I want to sort of concentrate in that area on this morning for this lesson in the parables of the kingdom. Because, we're given the overview. I'm going to come and I'm going to separate the good from the bad. Then I'm going to keep the good, and the bad I'm going to throw away into the furnace or the lake of fire. Okay. in the context of biblical teaching, particularly within the framework of traditional Judeo-Christian, Judaism and Christian, because Old and New Testament interpretation, individuals considered the righteous and the just are often characterized by a combination of faith, obedience to Elohim's law, and the manifestation of godly traits in our lives. The Bible, the scriptures, across both the Old and New Testament provide various criteria and examples of righteous and justice. Righteousness and justice. So we have to look at that, both old and new, to find out what the scriptures consider to be a good catch. Because when we only look at old, then we will find ourselves trying to conform strictly to the law and having the law to justify it. And the scriptures clearly tell us that the law alone was never given to us to justify us. It was to help us to become righteous, but it was also to show us that we were sinners. And so we need a Savior. And once we have found the Savior and we accept the Savior and we have been redeemed, then we must still keep the law. Jeremiah chapter 31 and 31 tells us that he's going to write his laws in our hearts and in our minds. We're not supposed to make up his laws. We're not supposed to say, oh, well, you know, we're supposed to love the Most High and love our neighbor as ourselves, and that's all we got to do. But we never learn what that actually means. And so it is in his Torah, in his Old Testament, in what we consider the Old Testament. I believe it's just one testament. But in his testament, the Torah, he defines how we love him. And he defines how we love our neighbor. Messiah comes and reiterates that and says, okay, now I'm going to make a way that you actually have a chance to actually do this and be right with the Most High. That you can become a good fit. So it's faith and believe in Elohim first. And he gives us an example. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. The book of Genesis chapter 15. And we're going to get where my lesson has jumped to the beginning, verse 6. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Okay? And we're talking about Abrahamic faith. And Abraham is mentioned in Torah, and he's mentioned in the New Testament. And it says that all those people that have Abrahamic faith, they are Israel. Because if they have the faith of Abraham, then they're going to accept Messiah. They're going to be baptized in his name. In Messiah's name. They're going to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. They are going to not doubt, and they're going to keep the commandments of the Most High. Abraham believed and kept the commandments of the Most High. And so to say that we are not up under the laws of the Most High is contrary. It's contrary to the word of the Most High because it shows a lack of understanding. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And he believed in Yah, and he counted it to him for righteousness. To believe the Most High is to do what he says to do. Okay? To do what he says to do. When he says to do it, how he says to do it, okay? And so I actually want to get another verse to go along with this one. Most I brought, you know, just like it just came into my mind to include this, and I'm going to go get it, and we're going to include it. Hold on just a second. Just a second here. while I find this verse that I'm looking for, I want us to understand that Abraham obeyed the commandments of the Most High. And that is the faith that each of us must keep, the faith of Abraham, in that we believe and that we obey the commandments of the Most High, that He writes it in our hearts and in our law, and in our minds to obey Him. Not to say that we're not up under His law. And I'm just going to see if I can find this one scripture specifically. Let me look in another place. Maybe I'll come back to it. I have other verses, but I wanted to include this so that we understand when it says we have in the New Testament that we are supposed to have the faith of Abraham. I'll come back to it. I'll find a particular specific verse. But we're in 15 and 6 in the scriptures that Abraham believed the Most High. And he obeyed the commandments of the Most High. And we have to obey the commandments of the Most High as saints of the Most High. We don't get to put that away. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. The book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. And I will come back to that verse. I will find it and bring it in so that it's part of this precept, but it's part of our understanding that if we have the faith of Abraham, we keep the commandments of the Most High as written in Torah. Because the commandments are designed to teach us how to love the Most High. And to love Him is to obey Him, obey His laws, His statutes, His commandments. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed Elohim, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He didn't just believe, but he did. He obeyed the Most High. Most High said, leave your city. Go here. Walk this land. Do this, do that. Everything that the Most High asked Abraham to do, he did. Okay? And he obeyed the commandments. And that's bothering me that I cannot find that verse. So we'll continue. I'll find it and bring it in. That he kept the commandments. And we have to understand as New Testament saints, we have to keep the commandments of the Most High. Genesis chapter 26. I knew I would find it. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 5. The book of Genesis. Chapter 26 and verse 5. In the word of the Most High reads, and because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. Now, I want to read a verse above that, because when I just read that, it said something more to me. Let's also get Genesis chapter 26 and verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Semicolon. Why? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. So if we are going to be the seed of Abraham, if we are going to be the offspring of Abraham, if we are truly the offspring of faith in the Most High, then we have to also understand that the faith of Abraham is because he obeyed the voice of the Most High, because he kept the charge of the Most High. Whatever the Most High charged him with, do this, go here, go there, walk this, walk that. Put the bond woman out. What have you. Everything that the Most High told him to do, he did it. Kept my charge and my commandments. So the Most High taught Abraham what he should do and what he should not do. Told him what to do and what not to do. Told him what the penalty was for disobeying. He taught him those things. Taught him his laws. And Abraham obeyed. And so this is not a contradiction. It is a confirmation that if we have the faith of Abraham, then we are going to obey the voice of the Most High. We're going to keep his charge. We're going to do his commandments. We are going to keep his statutes. We're going to keep his law. We're everything that the Most High has said and has had written, we're going to do it. As modern day believers or Christians, if we don't do this, then we are really not Christians. We're not believers. We have made up a God in our own heart, our own God, in our own heart and in our own mind. That is contradictory to the Elohim of the Bible. That is contradictory to the true and living Elohim. All the examples we're giving are given. It's not just by he believed God. He had to do some things. He had to obey whatever the Most High said. And see, the Most High is not talking to everybody. And how he is talking to everybody, they don't want to hear his voice through his scriptures, through his words. And so they want to make it up and do it however they want to do it. But we have to believe and then do, just as Abraham did. Okay? And I knew I would find that verse. Thank you, Most High. And so we have a confirmation of that in the New Testament, in Romans 4 and 6, that that we believe the Most High, we do what he says, we keep his charge, we obey his commandments, just as Abraham did. Those are true believers. Those are true believers. Okay. Go to John chapter 3. The book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we're going to get verse 16. John 3 and 16. For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you truly believe in Messiah, then you don't believe that Messiah came so that you can continue to break the law. If you're growing up in the image of Messiah, you are not going to be a lawbreaker. You're going to learn the statutes, laws, commandments, judgments, ordinances of the Most High, and you're going to learn to keep them. not break them, not say that, well, you know, they don't apply to me. If you truly believe, if you understand the scriptures, if you're not, you know, have a parable understanding, which is no understanding at all, but the true meaning of the parable. So Messiah came into the world and died for us that you should not perish, that you should not be thrown into the lake. But in order to not perish, you got to do what Messiah said to do. You have to do it. Okay. So that you can receive the right kind of everlasting life, not everlasting life in the lake, but everlasting life in paradise, in the kingdom of the Most High. A living being, not suffering, not with weeping and gnashing of teeth, but with joy. Romans chapter 10. The book of Romans chapter 10. So this is about your faith, that you believe that Messiah came and he died for your sins, and that you are a true believer in him. But being a true believer, it's not just the fact of saying I believe, but it also takes action. You have to become a doer of the word. And the scriptures tell us that. Be a doer of the word. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Yeshua HaMashiach, and shall believe in thine heart that Elohim has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you believe in him and that he came, and in your heart, if you truly believe it, if you truly believe it in your heart, then you're going to want to do what Messiah said to do. Messiah never said to be a sinner. He never said to struggle with sin. He never said to, you know, just believe that I came. But he gives us examples as to how. But he gives it only to the true believer. He tells you, hey, if you're really a true believer, then you're going to understand that this requires your all. You're not going to make it if you don't. If you don't do what I have said to do. You're not going to make it if you don't give it your all. You're not going to make it if you don't value the kingdom as the most important thing in your life. That is first. You're not going to make it. You're going to come up short because you're coming at it from the wrong mindset. Okay, so we got to understand that we have to be doers of the word. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And look at verse 22. You can't just believe. Okay, that is. A lot of people just believe that, hey, I got to believe that he came, but I don't believe I got to do what he said to do. I don't have to keep his commandments. James chapter 1, and let's get verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. And this is to back up what the scriptures are telling us. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you are a hearer of the word only, and you believe it, but you don't do it, then you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself that you have salvation. You're deceiving yourself that you are a child of Elohim. Because Most High doesn't want disobedient children. Just doesn't want it. And you have to choose to be, to not be a disobedient child. You have to choose that. That I'm going to be a obedient child and a doer of his word. Okay, not just a hearer of it, but a doer. obedience to Elohim's law. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because this is part of you being a good catch. Can't be a good catch and you're not in conformance to the Most High's law. So this whole book is about. The Most High came and met mankind, looked upon mankind, his creation, and mankind chose to be evil. And the Most High said, there's going to be some good that come out of it. I'm looking for the good. I'm not looking for the evil one. And we don't consider ourselves to be evil, but we are evil if we don't obey him. We are considered to be evil and wicked. Just that, that's just the bottom line of it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. In the word of the Most High reads, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before Yah our Elohim as he has commanded us. This is what made Israel righteous, to do those commandments, to do right in the eyes of the Most High as he had commanded. Not to do whatever they wanted to do. Not to say, hey, we're not up under the law, so we don't have to do that. That's for them Jews. They got to do it. But us, we Christians, we don't have to do it. Us, we believers in Messiah, we don't have to do it. Then you are truly deceived. And you've been hoodwinked. Because Messiah kept the law. He was not a sinner. He was not a transgressor. And him fulfilling the law does in no way mean that you don't have to fulfill the law. When it says belief in Messiah is the end of the law, the end is where you want to end up at, that state, a sinless state. Messiah is the end of the law. He's the end product. He is the end, what is the desired being, a sinless being. That's who the Most High is looking for. And because he did it, does in no way mean that you don't have to do it and I don't have to do it. Our faith in him says that we now believe that it is doable, because before that, men didn't do it. And the ones that did, like Enoch, Most High took them. So we got to understand that this has always been what is desired. Men and women, mankind that is obedient by, not mankind that is disobedient. The Most High took a nation and said, now, this shall be your righteousness if you observe to do all these commandments before Yah your Elohim, which I commanded. It's written from the mouth of Moses. So now Moses is talking in the first person for Israel. It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before Yah our Elohim, as he has commanded us. This doesn't change, has never changed. And so if you want to be a good fish, you want to be a good catch, you got to know that you have to obey these commandments. You have to learn them. Learn how to love Elohim. Learn how to love your fellow man in accordance with the scriptures as the standard. Not your own heart, not your own mind, because we can be jacked up. We can have a completely different standard than the Most High. That's why he says we have to use him as the standard. And understand that this is how he defines it, and this is what we have to do. Okay. So to be a good cat, you got to obey the commandments of the Most High, period. You cannot do what you want to do, how you want to do it. It's what he said to do that becomes our righteousness. Okay? Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse 172. The book of Psalms 119. Verse 172. In the word of the Most High, read as such. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. My tongue should be speaking his word, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments, for they are all righteousness. They tell us what is right. They tell us what is wrong. They tell us how to be. How in the world do we think right was right in Torah, but right is not right in the New Testament? How do we reconcile that in our own mind? How could this be right before? Oh, it's right then, but it ain't right now. Right is right, and it doesn't change. It doesn't change. That's why the Most High doesn't change. He says, I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind. That's the new covenant. I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind. That is the new covenant. It's not that I'm going to write new laws in your heart and in your mind. I'm going to write my same old laws in your heart and in your mind, that you might do them. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. I'm going to write them in your heart and in your mind, that your tongue shall speak his word, because they are righteousness. That's a good fit. That's a good catch. That's the one that he keeps from the net that he casts. Not the ones that say, hey, I sometimes do it, most of the time not. You know, I do what is in the moment. That's why he says you got to do this with your whole heart. You got to be who you are, who you become. That was Psalms 119 and 72. Who you are is who you speak. And you don't just speak it, you do it. You don't just hear it, you become a doer of it. Be ye doers of the words and not hearers only. But we want to put a modern spin on it. We want to say, oh, that was for the nation of Israel. That is not for us, wherever we're at in the world. You have been deceived. You have been lied to. That has been so that a certain organization can keep control of you and have you to do it their way. But it is written, and all we got to do is believe what is written. You want to be a good fish? You want to be one of the good fish that he keeps when he casts the net? You got to be a doer of his word. You got to be an ethical and moral character. Can't be shady. Let's go to Micah. M-I-C-A-H. Michael, the book of Michael, chapter 6. Because we have to be ethical and moral beings. Most I said, hey, you shall not use uneven weight. You shall not, you know, your ephod shall be an ephod and not a half an ephod for an ephod. You're not going to, you know, cheat people. You're not going to take advantage of people in everyday life and business and whatever, like I said last night. In the world today, to be a good businessman, they want you to really be unethical up until a point. And then all of a sudden you can do something and say, oh, well, you broke our law. So as long as you are, no, really what they say is, as long as you know our law and you stay within our laws, if you keep somebody, if they don't know the law, that's their problem. That's not a godly or a, I'm going to say it that way, it's not a godly value. Most I said, don't do it that way. Don't be that type of person. So they have used it against people. Their lack of knowledge of the law, they have used it, and mainly against Israel. When it was for their own people, then they'll be like, oh, well, no, you can't do that. You can't, you know, you can't misuse them that way. It's not ethical. But then when it came to Israel, it was ethical to be that way. Okay. So we got to understand our Elohim says no. He doesn't approve of that from us or them, any man that is breathing, mankind that is breathing. Micah chapter 6, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what it does, and what does Yah require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Elohim. Because this is not an easy walk. First, you've got to learn it, and your nature is to do evil. Without this knowledge, our nature is to actually be evil, to look out for self, to get over on whoever. Not let somebody take advantage of us. Let me take advantage of you first before you take advantage of me. That's really usually our nature. But he shows us, he has shown us what is good and what is just and what he requires. So we have to do those things. He has shown us, his laws tell us how to be ethical, how to be moral, how to be a good person in his eyes, how to be a good fish, how to be one of those ones that he wants to catch. We have to know this. We have to understand it, okay? And we have to do it. So we have to know that that's what his laws are designed to do from the very beginning. And if he is not the standard, then we are using somebody else's standard to justify ourselves, to make ourselves right in our own eyes. Okay, but that is not what he wants from us. Go to James chapter 1, the book of James chapter 1. Because we're looking at the parable, when he casts the net, are you going to be a good one that he puts into the vessel to keep, or are you going to be a bad one that he throws into the lake of fire? Okay, or that he casts away as being this one is no good. This one is, you know, if you catch a puffer fish, you're not going to keep the puffer fish. If you catch an eel, you're not going to keep the eel. If you catch a shark, you're not going to keep the shark. We have defined those as being bad. If we catch something that we just don't know what it is, we're not going to keep it and eat it. I don't know what that is, but I ain't eating it. Unless we are just truly corrupt, it don't matter, you know, I'm hungry. You know, I don't care what I eat. I got good and bad here. I'm going to eat everything. There are some people with that mentality, okay? But the truth of the matter is, when we cast a net, when we go fishing, we're fishing for certain type of fish. We're fishing for fish that we can keep, that we can eat, and we consider them good. The Most High is looking for people who are moral people, righteous people, ethical people, who obey his commandments. He's not looking for those who say, oh, those don't apply to me. All I got to do is believe in Messiah and what he did. I ain't got to do it because he did it. You are a fool. And I'm just going to tell you, you are a fool. Because Messiah came to show you that, hey, you can do it. I did it. You can do it, and this is how you do it. Okay. Don't think that you're going to continue to be wicked and evil and then get into his kingdom. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before Elohim the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep themselves unspotted from the world. We got people that will go and visit the fatherless and the widows. A lot of times their intention is to take advantage. If you got people that have good intentions, they're going to take care of somebody who is fatherless. You got some that's going to do and actually really look out for the widow. Hey, make sure that what she needs is done, that she's not on her own, or that she's not being taken advantage of. The last part is where the problem is, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I did my good deed, but, you know, I'm also doing my dirt. You know, this one is not a widow. She's open game. And if I can talk her into doing the nasty, then I'll talk her into doing the nasty. And this one is a widow. And she's still viable. And I know she's alone and lonely. And if I can talk her into doing whatever, I'll do that. You got people that will do that. Okay. And outside the will of the Most High. But he said, hey, if you are truly my disciple, if you truly belong to me, if you're a good fish, then you're not looking to do those things. You're looking to help them because they are defenseless. Totally. They got nobody else really to count on. You know, a lot of times we don't even have family to count on. Male or female. Don't even have family that you can count on. And if you don't believe the way that they believe, then all of a sudden you got problems, you got issues. You got, you know, we are contrary one to another. And many of us feel alone in the world because not even family agrees with us. And so we do the best that we can. And a lot of times we end up keeping our head low. Don't want to stir up too many things because I need somebody in the world. And so we put up with some things that we normally, if everything was right and our needs were being met and yada, 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 we were secure, we wouldn't put up with it. But we do because it's the best that we got. And so we got to understand that the Most High says, we, the true believers, are supposed to make sure that those that are afflicted, those that are most vulnerable in our society, don't go through that. Okay, not taken advantage of, or not fed upon that way. So let me get this first, because it's just been ringing through my mind. And I don't want to forget it. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31. Because we've got to understand that this is the new covenant. He defines it before he ever initiates it. He defines what it's going to be. somehow when we get into the New Testament, people only want to see the changes in the law. But they don't want to see what the Most High said that he was going to write in people's hearts. It's not just writing the changes. It's like saying, okay, I wrote paragraphs 1 through 10. I modified paragraph 9, and I added this to it, or I took away this from paragraph 9. But I'm only going to read the change to paragraph 9. I'm not worried about the other 10 or 9 verses. That's not applicable. The only, and I don't know what those are. All I need is to change. That's a lazy person. That's what that is. That's a lazy person. Just show me the changes. Well, you can't just look at the changes if you don't understand the root of the contract. If you understand the law and you know the law, you know the contract, then yeah, all you need to do is review the changes. If you know what the law is, you know what the rest of the contract says. Oh, he changed this. He modified that. He deleted this. But the rest of it is still in effect. But most everyday Christians, and especially those that don't use Torah, don't believe they are under the Torah, they will only look at the changes. But this is, starting in Jeremiah 31 and 31, this is the new covenant. This is what Messiah instituted. Okay. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This doesn't say with the Gentiles. It is passed to the Gentiles. They are included once Israel, the vast majority of Israel, rejects it. But this is still the same covenant. It's not different. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. They didn't keep it. Although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward part and write it in their hearts. My law, the same law that I took from, that I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same law that I gave to Israel. I'm going to put that in their hearts and in their minds. And I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah. Because they're supposed to know his law, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinance, his judgment. It's supposed to be written in the inward part, in the heart and in the mind. His law, not new laws. He never says that I wrote new laws in their heart and in their mind. So when you read the New Testament, you're reading modifications to the old. I never wanted sin. I never wanted sacrifice for sin. I never designed the animal's blood and their fat burning on the altar to be an offense to me. It was a pleasant odor in my nose, in my nostrils. It pleased me. But then I had to allow you to use these same animals for your sin, and I never wanted that. Never was pleasing to me. Because now this animal is dying to be sacrificed for your sin, for your wrongdoing, and not for good. So I never wanted that. So never, not going to be teaching every man and his neighbor to know Yah. For they shall know him. If they were true believers, if they are true saints of the Most High, if they are true Christians, believer in Messiah, believers in becoming like him, then they know that they have to be taught the law. They know that. Not that I'm not under that law. The good fish know. I have to be a doer of this law. This law is supposed to be written in my heart and in my mind. To do them. Not to be hearers of them only, but to be doers of them. This is the new covenant. And those that are of the masses are stuck in the parables and have no understanding. That is still going on today. Now, when it says, they shall know Yah, for they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said Yah, for I will forgive their iniquity. That is through Messiah. I will forgive your iniquity through Messiah. You accept Messiah as your Savior and as your Redeemer and as your King. I will forgive you. And if you don't sin willfully anymore after that, because I'm going to forgive your willful sin. One time, not 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. Not as you struggle to try to change. No, when you know it's wrong and you know who it's wrong against, you are supposed to stop, period. You're supposed to have an understanding that, wait a minute, this is a transgression against the Most High. I don't want to offend him. And for that very reason, I'm putting this down. I'm converting. I'm having a change of heart. Okay. And I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. He says, I'll cast that. If you let it go, if you let it go, your willful sin, I will remember it no more. I won't see you as the same old person. But if you continue to do it, you're the same old person. I will remember you for that. I will remember you for that. And so people, you know, just want to walk around and feel like, hey, we're not up under that law. We are not up under that requirement. All we got to do is believe that Messiah came and died for our sins, and we're going to be saved. But Messiah says, hey, how do you say you love me and do not what I say to do? How is it that you have no understanding? Because I intended for you not to have understanding. Because of what your heart was never right before me. You use my name. Use my name to cast out devils. Use my name to heal the sick. To heal those that are, you know, need healing. You're doing great things in my name, and I never knew you. Because you were doing it for self. If you don't obey me, you're doing it for self. Period. Doing it because you want to feel good. Period. You're not doing it for him. And everything else, you don't obey. So this is what he's saying. This is the new covenant. So we got to understand that this is the new covenant. You got to understand that this is what I'm coming into. Got to understand that this is what I have to know. This is what I have to believe. This is what I have to abide by. This is what's going to make me a good person, a good fish, one that's keepable, one that's keepable. Okay. And if we don't understand that, trust me, you're going to fall short. We're not going to be capable by the Most High. So, tells us that we got to be obedient to his laws to be a good fish. Not obedient to the laws of men. Obedient to his laws. Not obedient to the traditions of men. Obedient to his traditions, to his ways, to his culture. Not obedient to the way my parents worship the Most High. is the way that my parents worshiped the Most High is contrary to the Most High. Oh, they were good people. They took care of me. They raised me up. They did yada, yada, yada. But you know what? They did not worship the God of the Bible the way he said to worship him. They worshiped the way that their parents said to worship him. They never dug into his word to find out the truth of his word. Well, as long as I'm a good person, according to my parents, or according to my pastor, or according to mankind, I'm a good person. No, the hell you're not. You're not a good person in accordance with the Most High. That's who is important. The Most High. Are you transgressing his standard, his way? Are you keeping his ways? Are you being a doer of his word? Not just a hearer. Repentance. Because a true believer repents, truly repents, turns away from their willful sin. Can't turn away from something you don't know is sin. It's impossible. How are you going to turn away from something you don't know is a wrong? So the things that you're turning away from are things that you know are wrong. And then as you learn what is right and what is wrong in accordance with the law of the Most High. Not in accordance with the law of man, not in accordance with the traditions of man, but with the law of the Most High. Once you know that, and you find out you are in transgression, ignorantly, that you didn't know before, you repent. Most High didn't know that that was wrong. I had never been taught that. But I thank you for showing me that I have been in transgression in this area. And I repent of it. I turn away from it. And he is true and just to forgive you for it. Not in what you knew was wrong. Most I knew that was wrong. I did it anyway. I made the choice to do it anyway. Knowing it was wrong. Most I said, well, you knew it was wrong, and you chose to do it anyway. You chose to be disobedient. But I can't put that up under Messiah. Not after you come to him. Before you came to him, when you first came to him, I understood that you were rebellious. I understood that. I knew that. But you accepted what Messiah did. And everything you knew was wrong, you confessed it. And you changed. The problem is people are not confessing specific sins. They want to generalize. And then as they learn it, oh, wait a minute, this is a sin, then they want to say, oh, you know, I'm changing. No, we're supposed to consider these things from the beginning. I was a liar. I was a fornicator. I was an adulterer. I was a theft, a thief. I was a glutton. I was these things. Whatever they are, we are supposed to categorize them. Yes, I'm in transgression. I know these things are sins. Whatever we know. Not just a sinner. That's too general. Because then we don't know what to change. And we confess those things. And we stop those things. We repent of those things. And we were held accountable after that act. All of our willful sin, he says, hey, I'm going to forgive you. You confess it and I will forgive you. One time in Messiah. Now, you knew it was wrong, you confessed it, and you knew it was wrong, and you went back and did it again? He said, there ain't no blood for that. That's not Brother Miles saying that. That is word. That is what is written. There's no blood for that. You willfully disobeyed me. There's no sacrifice for that. And so we have been taught in error. So all we got to do is keep confessing that we're sinners and the Most High will forgive us. So what you're doing is keeping confessing that you are reprobate. That's what you keep confessing, because you keep doing it. You are a reprobate. You are a reject. Oh, no, he'll forgive me. No, you don't have any understanding, and you take the Most High as a fool. This is what we were taught, to take the Most High as a fool. To mock him. Most High, you know, you don't know no better. You don't know what's really in my heart. I can fool these people down here. I can pretend that, hey, I'm a very nice person, and all the time I'm trying to reach into their wallet. I'm trying to take something from them, trying to deceive them. The Most High, you just like them. I can lie to you. I can say one thing to you, and this is what the very thing he accused Israel of. Read Psalm 78. He said one thing to me, and you did another. You tried to deceive me in believing that you were good and that you were holy, and you were not. And that's why he came and spoke to them in parable. You think you can deceive me? I'm going to tell you the truth. And you're not going to be able to deny that I told you the truth, but I told you the truth in a way that you can't understand it. Why? So that I could condemn you. Oh, no, Most High won't do that. He loves us all. No, I don't love them that try to deceive me, that intentionally try to deceive me, to try to intensely mock me and take me for a fool. I don't love them. And I'm going to show them that they ain't as wise as they think that they are. Think you wiser than me? Watch this. Watch how you act on this. And it's the truth, but you have no understanding of it. And you're not going to be able to say, I didn't tell you the truth. I told you the truth, but I didn't tell you plainly. And you run around your whole life thinking that you can be this way or that way, only to find out that it's not acceptable with me. And only to find out that I tell you, I never knew you. You worker of iniquity. Get away from me. I never knew you. So he will not be mocked. The Most High is looking for true repentance. You want to be a good fish, you got to truly repent. You want to be a good fish, you got to truly forgive. And you got to truly accept forgiveness. And understand that forgiveness is not forever. You do the wrong thing, you can't be forgiven for it. Blaspheme the Most High. Blaspheme him directly. This thing, you'll never be forgiven for that. In this world or the world to come. But have understanding and willfully disobey him after you know the truth. Because you ain't going to be forgiven. Because you knew. And you did it anyway. Because I'm not going to be mocked. I'm not going to be made a fool of. You the one going to be the fool. You the one that is deceived, not me. We got to understand true repentance is what the Most High is looking for. You want to be a good fish? Then you have to truly repent. Turn away from. Not I'm trying. Not I'm going to. Must be a doer of the word. Not a hearer only. Not a trier. You see, a try is an excuse to fail. And say, well, I tried. That's not acceptable. Even in a lot of jobs of man, you say, oh, I was trying to do the right thing. I was trying to get this correct. You just lost us millions of dollars. See ya. That's more than we were ever going to pay you, so you gone. Out of here. You're fired. But somehow when it comes to the Most High, then he's just supposed to be understanding. Go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And I pray that we are getting this. And I'm going to lay it out for you exactly how it is. And I pray we're getting it. Don't care what Christianity says, Orthodox Christianity. I don't care what other bodies of believers are saying. Don't care, personally, what you think. What is written? Were you called to teach this? So that the Most High can say, you are accountable. Because you're going to be accountable one way or the other. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is true and faithful to forgive us our sins. That is not an ongoing, forever thing. It is not unlimited. That is the bottom line of salvation. You first come to Messiah, you confess your sin, and he is true and just to forgive you your sin and your blasphemy, your willful sin, one time, not forever. The church, the modern-day church, and the church for 2,000 years don't know when they got off track. But they started coming up with doctrines that said, hey, the Most High will forgive you forever if you will just confess your sins. He won't forgive you forever if you just keep trying. No, you got to be sincere and honest in your try. You are accountable. You come to Messiah. You confess your sins. He is true and just to forgive you, even your blasphemy, your willful sins, the first time, one time. After that, you are accountable. Period. You, me, everybody, we're accountable. Period. After that point. The Most High knows that we don't know everything. He knows this. He is always known this and always had a provision for it. And he made a provision in the law. If you sin ignorantly, the day you find out that you were sinning, you confess your sin and I will forgive you. You can go to the priest and he can make atonement for you. He will shed blood so that that sin is not on you. But you're not going to continue to do that sin. You know it's a sin now. And so you come. You confess it. This is nothing new. You confess it and turn away from it. And he was true and just to forgive us. Whether it was the nation, whether it was the priest, whether it was the individual man. When I say man, I include womankind in that. So just understand that. Mankind. He understood that, and he made provision for it. But he said the soul that sinned willfully, that knew it was wrong, he said that soul, his iniquity shall remain upon him. He couldn't bring a sacrifice for it. Couldn't go to the priest and make atonement. He says, now, what I'm going to do up on the Messiah, I'm going to forgive what I wouldn't forgive one time under Torah. You confess your willful sin to me, your blasphemy, and I'm going to forgive them one time. But don't you dare intentionally disobey me again. There's no blood for that. There's no forgiveness for that. But we were taught that it was. We were taught a lot. Plain and simple. We were taught a lot. The Most High says, I'm sending you a messenger to straighten this out. You either remember and you either do it or you don't. Hear. If he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. So you either understand and you go before the Most High. Most High, I was taught a lot and I believe a lot. But now I know the truth and I understand the truth and I'm going to, from this day forward, I'm going to do the truth. I'm going to do your will. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. But I'm not doing that anymore. And if you choose to condemn me, then you are Elohim. And you have all rights to condemn me. And I pray that you don't. But if you do, it is within your authority, your power to do so. And I will obey wherever you send me. Send me to the lake. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to gnash. And I'm going to weep. And I'm going to be sorry that I ever offended you. I'm going to know the truth. If you forgive me, I'm going to serve you with my whole heart. I will not intentionally disobey you. So when we read this verse, we want to apply it all the time, and it doesn't apply all the time. It applies when you first come to Messiah, and it applies to your ignorant sin after that. And somehow, we don't want to be held accountable for our sin after that. We just want to throw it up under Messiah and say, oh, he'll forgive me. You are deceived. You have been deceived. And you have believed a lot. You have believed the doctrines and the traditions of men and not the word of the Most High. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we first come to him, that's when we ignorantly come to him, because we stop. We recognize the sin that we didn't know about when we recognize that we stopped doing it. Okay, I understand. Now you know that you were in transgression against me. You stopped. Let me clean you up. Let me wash that away. I'm not even going to remember you were doing that anymore. You stopped it. And I'm looking at you from this current point. Now, if you fall and go back again, don't bring that mess to me. Because you had to choose to do that. Don't tell me you were weak. You were vulnerable. You were overwhelmed. Unless somebody forced you to do something, you are without excuse. You are without excuse. So we got to understand that the reading of this verse, people have used it to continually walk in sin. To mock the Most High. To say that's the power of Messiah's salvation. That is a misconstruction of the scripture. That is a misunderstanding of the scripture. That is a lie that men tell themselves to continue in what they're doing. So know from this time forward that you can't use that scripture that way and that it has been taught to you as a lie. It's in direct conflict of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 30. If you willfully sin, after you've come into the knowledge of the truth, there is no sacrifice. There is no blood for sin. You can't put it up under the blood. Or we'll just ignore that. That messes with our understanding. That messes with how I walk. That messes with my heart, because I serve a forgiving Elohim. I serve a forgiving God. The true God you serve is not a fool. And he's not going to let you use him as a fool. So you're going to get in front of him and you're going to say, hey, I never knew you. Your heart was not with me. Your heart was to do what you wanted to do and to continue doing what you want to do and use me as an excuse. So get away from me. You are a worker of iniquity. You are a worker of a transgressor. You are not only that, you are a willful transgressor. Get away from me. You don't belong to me. I don't care who you are. You're the bishop, you're the pope, you're a priest, you're a father. You are a pastor, you're an elder, you're the everyday common mankind. I don't care. If you got this mindset, you do not belong to me. So don't bring your title here. Don't mean nothing to me. As far as I'm concerned, your title is a worker of iniquity. You can put whatever title you want to put on yourself, but your title with me is worker of iniquity and bad fish. You are not a good catch. We got to understand that, okay, and not misuse this verse to continue walking in sin. That covers everybody. And for the newcomers, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. Because anybody that comes to the Most High the first time and says, you know, I'm sinless, you are a liar. You don't understand. I made you, even your conception, to be in sin. You are a sinner. So we want to take this and say, well, I know I'm a sinner. So if I confess my sin, he's doing just to forgive me. Just twisting the word all every kind of way. Twisting it to justify ourselves rather than just accepting, you know what? That was me. That is me. I need to repent. I need to turn away from my old ways. Saying that the Elohim I serve is not a fool. He will not be mocked. And what I've been doing is mocking him. Go to Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts chapter 3. I hope we don't use that verse to continually walk in sin. Acts chapter 3. Verse 19. In the word of the Most High, read. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, be changed. You can't keep doing the same old thing and say that you changed. You are a liar then. If you're still struggling with it, you ain't changed. That your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing come, when the Most High says, I'm starting over now. When I resurrect everybody and throw the bad ones into the lake, I'm only going to have good that I'm dealing with. The bad ones are in the lake, and they are where they are at. We start over, I refresh things. Then there should be no sin. Mankind is not going to start off ignorant again. Sin then. Choose to sin at that time. You're going straight to the lake. You ain't going to the grave. You're not dying. You are an eternal being. You are like Satan and the other and Michael and Gabriel. Eternal. Choose to do wickedness in. You're going straight to the lake. You're not going to die. You're not going to be able to ask for forgiveness because you knew. It's a whole different system. Everybody starts off knowing good and evil that they didn't know in the garden. Can't use that as an excuse. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, you knew. You chose to do it. Bind them up and throw them in the lake. You don't come out. It ain't like you went and served a jail sentence. You don't come out. Hear this. You don't come out. There is no probation. There is no whatever the prison term is for it. You don't serve your time and come out. Your sentence is eternity. Because the Most High says you're not going to change your spot. All that other stuff is the tradition of men. It is not the word of the Most High. It's eternity. That's your sin. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yah. And he shall send Yeshua, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, storing of all things, which Elohim has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Do we think the Most High is going to restore us even if we were evil? He said, no, if you're evil, you're a reject. You didn't pass the test. I'm going to restore everything the way that I want it, but everything that is a reject don't get restored. Because you're a reject. You're not going to change. You would have changed if you were going to change. You're not going to change. We want to feel like if we get up under a good system, we will be different. No. You are proving that you are evil. You are wicked. That's who and what you are. You're either going to be good and righteous and just and holy. You're going to make the decision to change to that. And if we were caught in error and we went the wrong way, I pray that the Most High have mercy upon us because we realize and we truly change. We converted. He saw fit to allow us to hear the truth, and we converted. If we hear the truth and don't convert, then that's on each and every one of us. If we hear and convert, I pray that the Most High be merciful and that he does not impute our sins against us. Truly converted. If we haven't truly converted and we hear the truth and we still don't convert, then that's on each and every one of us. I'm not even going to ask mercy for that. Because that is, it is what it is. So with that being said, we are going to pick this up on this evening and finish this because we want to be good fish. Good fish. We want to do what the Most High says to do. We do not want to be evil and wicked. We don't want to be bad. I truly believe this in my heart of hearts, in my mind, in my spirit. We don't want to be that. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. It is the Most High. He will not change. He does not change for us. We have to change for Him. He has made a way. If you can but hear it and do it, then may Yah find you acceptable and accept you into His kingdom. The kingdom of righteousness and of joy and of mercy and of peace. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your day. We'll come back with the Pentecost. We're about a third of the way through. Continuance of this precept on the feeding. Shalom. Shalom, family. Peace and blessings to you all. Let me make sure my speaker is on. Just a second, Sister Mary. All right, go ahead. All right, shalom and peace and blessings, family. Love you all. See you guys on this evening. Still don't think my speaker is working right, but amen.